Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott. Advices is presented by Naps Gear. Tonight, I have one of my best friends in the whole wide world.
Aw.
Hey, wait, you're supposed to let me do the intro here. This is my good friend, VJ. He competed for 11 years. He was a lifetime natural competitor. He's also a doctor of chiropractic, and he's a contest prep and diet coach. So tonight, I've got VJ with me. We are going to discuss contest prep coaching. We're going to talk to you about what to look for in a coach. We're going to talk about what your responsibilities are as an athlete. And we're just going to dive right in. So thanks for being with me, VJ.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be on Advices Radio.
Yes, giving you the right advices.
The right advices.
Yes. So the topic that we're going to talk about, like I said, is the art of contest prep coaching and the art of diet coaching. There's a lot of people out there now that are doing coaching. As a matter of fact, I see new coaches popping up every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you've competed in one show and placed dead last, you've immediately qualified yourself to be a coach.
Yes.
Those are the requirements nowadays.
In fact, I don't even think you need to complete that first show. You could start coaching it, 4 weeks out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can drop out of the show altogether and be a coach. I never did it, but I'm a coach.
Yes, yes. So the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand about being a coach is you can look at somebody, you can take a great bodybuilder, somebody who looks amazing. That does not mean that they can get you to look the way they do.
Absolutely. When you think of look at all the the top 10 at the Olympia. All right. You're talking about the elite genetic people here. Do you think would you take direction from Dexter Jackson or from Matt Porter?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
exactly. And I think a lot of times people don't see that because you've got situations where the guys that look the best had to do the least work to get there.
Absolutely.
Yep. Some of these guys are just genetically gifted and that no matter what they did, they would look that awesome. So I think the key here is to understand is that to be a good coach, yes, number one, first, they do need to learn their own body. I think it's important that a coach knows how to get themselves in shape first.
Yeah, I can't agree more. It's mastery over your own body and understanding your own metabolism will only help you help other people better,
Absolutely. But then, and there's a big but then, the but then is that you also need to understand how to get a wide variety of other people into shape too.
Yes. There's the catch, right? So, but I mean, that comes with experience, So, there's no replacement for experience.
Yes. So I would say that if you want to hire a coach, the number one first thing I would do is look to see who else they've helped.
Sure. And how long they've been doing this.
That's true, too. Absolutely. Just because they can help themselves and, they're we'll say 230-pound male on stage doesn't mean that that the exact same things are going to work for a bikini competitor that's, 98 sure. pounds.
Right. Right.
So there's definitely that aspect to it. Can you think of anything else that would separate, a good coach from somebody who just understood how to diet themselves?
I think, like you said, being able to walk the walk, and not just talk the talk is a huge proponent. It's like, when you go to the LA Fitnesses and all that bullshit, all those shitty giant box gyms. and you see the personal trainers there.
Yeah.
And they're like obese, or they got, you know, orangutan titties, or they're just, you know, they look like your average skinny fat guy or just obese girl. But oh, they're personal trainers. It's like, would you take instruction from that person, or would you take instruction from the guy who looks like Flex Wheeler over there? You know what I mean? It's like, you got to be able to walk the walk, you know, and put yourself through the same kind of grind that you would put your own clients through.
Sure.
And that's a hard one to find nowadays too. You know, I mean, it's almost seems like it's few and far between.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I feel like, as a coach, it's important for me to remember, you know, where I've come from. You know, just because I'm sitting behind a computer and I'm typing out something that I'm suggesting or, you know, instructing somebody to do, I never have anybody do anything that I wouldn't do myself. I think that I think that when you say walk the walk, you have to be connected to what it takes to get there, you know? And I'm willing to ask people to work hard, you know? I mean, and I think that's part of being a coach, is that you're there to push them in the right directions further than they may have been willing to go on their own.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got to think about whatever it takes to get there. You know, you got to think about what that means. And, if you would be able to be willing to do those exact same things, like you said, and that, you know, a good coach will be like, well, this is what it's going to take, you know, but knowing that from his own experience or from her own experience, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
Not just because they read it in some journal somewhere, or just because they read that, another coach was doing this and that seemed to work that one time, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a big difference.
So another really important factor here is the coach, they're going to give you instructions, they're going to give you direction, but at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to carry this stuff out.
Yep.
And it's your responsibility to be honest too, you know, and follow these instructions. And if you're not following these instructions, it's also important that you're totally honest about that. I feel like good communication is really what makes a relationship work between.
I mean, it's like a marriage almost. I mean, it's got to be complete. You got to have complete faith in one another, and you've got to be completely honest with one another, just like a marriage, you know.
Sure.
It's a relationship that's got to work. And when you start omitting things like, I can't tell you how many clients I've had that have omitted things in one way or another, either because they were trying to hide it from me or because they just didn't think it was important enough for them to relay to me. You know, it could be something as simple as condiments that they were using, you know, or, you know, just things like that. You know, that's just it's a lie by omission. It's like they don't necessarily mean to do that, but they do it anyways, you know.
Yes.
And it happens almost with every client, you know, it's just in one shape or another.
I think especially with the less experienced people, you know.
Oh, for sure. You get the newbies or the ones who just, you know, they were with a coach for their first show and now they want to do another show and they're looking for a new coach or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's those types that are fucking it up.
I know, you know, this story. I had a client that, I want to say it was like 4 weeks out. I had him eating, four of his meals were chicken. Well, it was either the option of chicken or ground turkey, and he was using chicken. And then we switched two of those meals to fish, and instantly he just started tightening up like crazy. And after a few days of that, I said to him, gosh, this fish is working really good. And he said, because this was one of those lies of omission, you know, he didn't mean this whatsoever. He said, you know what I think it is? When I use chicken, I always put barbecue sauce on it. But when I eat fish, I don't.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh gosh.
Ding, 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 right there.
See, like I was saying, just a omission. They don't realize that it's hurting them, but it's like, that's why you need total disclosure. You know, I don't care if it's condiments, if it's, you know, weird seasonings that, you know, that you found that you want to use or all the way up to what drugs you plan to use, if at all, you know, or supplements even some supplements can be super harmful without you realizing it, you know?
Absolutely. I think as a coach, the more you've done it too. And this is part of that key of experience. You start to know the questions to ask.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you'll come up, and this is another mark of a good coach. They'll ask lots of questions leading in. And, you know, and one of the things is, you know, how are you eating now? How were you eating before? Yes. When the last time you got in shape, what was your diet like? What was your training like? What's your training like now? I mean, there's several questions, you know, what supplements are you using? I need to know everything as far as what supplements you're using right now, pre-workouts. That includes pre-workouts and proteins, you know. You know what I mean? It's like there's like a whole laundry list of things. And a good coach will know these things to ask.
Right.
And so that's something I kind of keep an eye out for. You know, a newer coach may not know those things and is charging you an exorbitant amount of money anyways. And so that's something that, a client's perspective, they need to look for those things. Like, why is this guy answering me? Why is this lady asking me so many different questions?
Yeah.
You know, how is this going to help? Well, it all comes together. Trust me. It's, you know, it's like, when you're a doctor or a physician or something, you know, I was a physician for, a chiropractic physician for, eight years. Okay. And, in that time, I mean, you learn to take just incredible histories, patient histories, you know, health histories, and you get a really nice picture of where they come from and where they're going to be going from here on out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's no different than that from coaching. You know, it's like you get a good history and things become much easier from that point on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So that's the first thing that I always do, and I know you do too, is send out a questionnaire that they can fill out and hopefully, you know, answer a lot of the stuff, cover a lot of that stuff, you know, out the gate. So definitely I think that's important. Another thing is that there's no, like, you know, there's no cookie cutter program that's going to work.
Oh yeah. That's a big one. That's a pet peeve of mine too. So
yeah, I've seen, some stuff that was, I think from like one of the Treads people, it was this like 6 week bulking diet or something like that, that this guy paid a lot of money for. And it was, he had written out 6 weeks from day one, like, here's your 6 week plan. These are the things you're going to do for the next 6 weeks, you know. And then he had like adjustments each week, but you can't know, you know.
No, there's no way. No. Go ahead.
I'm getting you worked up here. I can tell.
I am. I'm right. I'm ready to jump in, but I want you to get your point across.
Well, really, that is my point. You know, you can't tell how every individual, you know, because every individual is going to respond differently to a carbohydrate or to a fat, even to the proteins, you know, that you're not going to be able to know what week five looks like. You know, I just had a guy ask me, we're 4 weeks out from a contest. He said, do you know what my peak week is going to look like right now?
Oh gosh. I get that. It drives me crazy. It makes me crazy. It's like, why are you even thinking like that far ahead? It's like, and plus, you know, you got to get your ass in shape first. What the fuck?
Yeah, so here's the thing is, if you run across somebody and they give you a plan like that, I would suggest that you run the other direction
and get your goddamn money back.
Yes, quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge pet peeve of mine. I mean, there's, like you said, there's no way of knowing. Everyone is so different that if you get a program that's, you know, week by week, here you go, you'll get your results that you want. Put the brakes on and go somewhere else and get your money back, because it's a load of shit and they clearly don't know what they're doing. I believe there was this, who was it, that guy, I'm going to call his name out anyways, Jocko De Bruin.
Okay.
From South Africa, and he was like stealing all of John Meadows' stuff.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And anyways, he got a quick claim against him from the U.S., you know, from him, from John Meadows.
Nice.
And he stopped doing that shit, obviously. But
he was just pasting word for word.
That's exactly what he was doing. And, you know, he was scamming all these kinds of different people. I mean, the difference between him and John is that John has been doing this for God knows how long, and he has the ability as a coach to be able to see weekly changes or even daily changes, if that's what he's doing,
right?
You know, and make and make the necessary adjustments to the diet or the training that he has to, you know? And so it's like, there's no such thing as a cookie cutter diet or training plan for anybody. It's just, it's a literal impossibility. You know, it's a lot like, how one cycle for this guy is, you know, it's not going to be the same. He's not going to have the same effect for the same cycle of the other guy. Sure. You know what I mean? I mean, bodies are just that much different. Metabolisms are completely different. You know, take you, for example. You are an ectomorph. If I were to eat anywhere near like you, I would be 400 pounds obese.
It would be frightening.
It would be frightening and horribly ugly is what it would be. But all in all, we're relatively the same size, you know, it's like same height, almost the same size, but completely different as far as biochemistry goes. And that's something that a good coach should knows and already knows out of the gate,
right,
and is able to understand and work with right away.
Yeah, so if you have a coach tell you, we're going to start this diet, it's going to be 16 weeks, and your peak week is going to look like this, this is the stuff we're going to do for your peak week, then, I would definitely run the other way.
Peak week is such an annoying thing, too. It's like this thing that's just celebrated on Instagram and Facebook, you know? It's like, oh, I can't wait for peak week. This is what I'm going to be doing for peak week. It's like, how the fuck do you know? There's no way you could possibly know. I've had clients where I was just like, we're doing nothing different during this last week or your technical peak week. We're doing nothing different. You look awesome. And this is how I want you on stage.
And so, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's sometimes how it is.
Yeah. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, or you have to go the other extreme and be like, holy shit, you're a horrible water bag right now. And we got to get this off of you. I can tell you're lean,
right?
But man, oh man, some sort of aldosterone loop of some sort is going crazy in your body. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do to get rid of it. So, I mean, there's extremes, of course, you know, there's one or the other, but I mean, no two peak weeks, and I'm using air quotes,
right,
those peak weeks will ever look the same. I mean, they really shouldn't.
I think that a lot of the times these cookie cutter operations that we see are like the bigger companies, because they're just trying to get the numbers up, and maybe they're charging a little bit less than a coach, you know, like your Matt Porter or your John Meadows or your Shelby Starnes. But, you know, they are definitely just looking to get you in, push you through, and get you out the other side.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's another point, actually, as you sort of touched on it. Now I'm going to go on a different rant, different tangent. But, you know, I'm not a fan of this group mentality, where you have a coach who treats every client the same as long as they're part of his group. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that?
I've seen that type of coach? Yes, I've seen, and to an extent, I understand. I understand how for the athlete, it can be beneficial. It's nice to have camaraderie. It's nice to feel like you're doing something with another group of people.
I see. So you're like, from an emotional standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, you're thinking.
Sure. I think that for that reason, it can be great. Like, a lot of my local guys get together with me on Saturdays and we all hammer legs together, and it's a cool bonding experience. We hit a little bit of posing afterwards, but at the same time, okay, let's take like their cheat meal, for instance. They don't all get the same cheat meal. You know, I've seen more than one operation where every single athlete, it's Saturday, it's cheat meal day, everybody gets a burger and fries.
Yeah, and these people could either be pre-contest dieting or off-season dieting. I mean, how in the hell are you supposed to, you can't treat everyone as if they're a robot just because they're part of your team. You think that they're all biochemistry is all the same. You know, it's like, it's crazy to me. That is a sign, that is a huge red flag for me. And for any clients, you know, potential clients looking for coaches, I would steer way clear of that. I'm not trying to hate on anybody.
Sure.
But that is, for the greater good of your well-being. And I'm speaking to to the clients out there.
Right.
This is one that you want to avoid. I understand that there's a group mentality and you want to feel accepted and this and that. But let's be honest. It's just you getting on stage. Nobody else.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, or it's just you trying to make that journey. You know, nobody else, you know.
Yeah.
We can give you a push. We can help you along, but it's you got to take those steps.
And then I know, you know, one guy that I work with might have stomach issues if he eats a burger versus another guy is going to need it because if he doesn't have those fats, he's not going to fill out.
Sure, absolutely. And that's the crazy thing about these one cheat meal fits all type things. You know, it's like everyone's so different. It's like, I can have burgers and fries. I can go to McDonald's and load up on burgers and fries and the next day be full and dry. Whereas if I were to load up on ice cream, you know, the next morning I would be, oh gosh, it would be a horrible mess. I'd look like the Michelin man.
Sure. Sure.
You know, I mean, it's that drastic of a change that can happen overnight. You've got way too many hormones cascading. You've got way too many neurotransmitters doing all many different things. And, you know, we're not all one machine. You know, we all don't have the same engine.
Absolutely. So definitely, I think that's another key aspect there. Another real interesting point to look at is how much attention you're getting. You know, I have some people personally that I have to have check in every 3 days or every 2 days.
Sure.
Sometimes I have somebody that can check in every week. And usually I try to get back to these people, you know, in a timely fashion.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
There are people that I've heard that are, they get so busy that their coach doesn't get back to them for 4 days. And, you know, they never have checked in more than once a week. I just think that a lot of the issues we're talking about come down to somebody who's just too busy, really what it is.
And the reality is, how busy could they possibly be to look at a picture and be able to make the changes? I mean, you should be able to do that on the fly within minutes, not even minutes. You know, it's like you know what their diet's like already, or if you don't, I'm sure you've got it in your phone somewhere. Everyone's got, you know, everything's on their phone anymore.
Right.
I mean, with the technology that we have now and you know, it's just, I don't understand why it would take 3 days, 4 days, 5 days for a coach to be able, you know, to get back to someone. It doesn't make any sense. It should be almost instantaneous. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes it takes a little bit more thought than that. And I think it just comes down a lot of times to numbers. You know, if you've got so many people that are checking in, some of these guys are, you know, they have 200-300 clients under their belt. And that's
sure.
There's only so many hours of the day. So,
right.
I think that's another consideration. So if you contact somebody and your communication is good and they're answering all the questions that you have, that's a good sign that this person is probably going to give you the attention that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something from a client's perspective too. It's like some people need their hand held, you know, and they need constant, you know, encouragement and that sort of thing. And I guess that goes that, you know, from a client's perspective, you've got to pick your coach based on that too, you know, because I mean, coaches are different, just like clients are different. You know, there's coaches out there that are, they kind of don't give a shit how you're feeling, you know.
It's sure.
I mean, and I'll put myself with, you know, in that category. If you're going to bitch and complain and moan, it's in one ear, out the other with me, you know. I mean, I'm not gonna hold anyone's hand. It's like, this is your journey. You want to do it, I'm with you all the way, but I'm not gonna pick you up when you're down. You know, I'm not gonna lift you up.
Well, you know what I mean?
I'm not your priest. You know what I mean?
You know, I think what that comes down to is, you know, like I said, this is something that you've gone through. This is something that you go through. You're not asking anybody to do anything that you wouldn't do yourself.
Right. Right.
You know, this is all, you know, calculated, and you know that this is the end result here. Like, you as a client, you don't have to do this stuff. You know, you can choose not to. But if you want to get into the shape that you're looking for, especially for, you know, the people that are trying to take it to real extreme conditioning, we're talking like low single digits. You were talking like where you could see your heart beating through your chest, you know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
So freaking lean you could see your kidneys.
Yeah.
Those people, when you're trying to get that lean, it's gonna take some suffering. If you're trying to get on stage and you want to do it right, it's going to be difficult. And yeah, I agree 100%. You know, the coach's job is to give you the tools to get there. The coach's job is not to be your psychologist.
No. And to be honest and fair, there are coaches out there that actually enjoy that aspect and are actually, you know, pretty good at that. You know, I think of Oscar Arden. He's one.
Sure.
Tad the Diet Coach. He's another.
I was going to say Tad. Absolutely.
You know, these guys are great mentors and motivators. You know, of course they're great coaches too. They've had, you know, great. They have a huge plethora of experience and under their belt. But I mean, in addition to that, they're, like I said, they're motivators and they love the psychological aspect of, you know, trying to pick you up when you're down kind of thing. And they thrive on that. But I mean, if that's the relationship that you want, then that's the kind of coach that you should be seeking out.
Sure.
You know, you should kind of know that about yourself by now.
Yeah. And also too, understand that if you're going to hire Oscar Arden, he's not taking on, you know, hundreds of people. He's going to be giving, it's going to take a lot more attention if this is the kind of thing you need. And you're probably going to have to expect to pay a little more for that too.
Oh yeah. 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 And that's another thing. I mean, you're going to get a premium. I was just talking to Shelby today at the gym. He was kind of giggling. He was just like, some people on his Instagram would write him up and say, "You're too expensive. I can't afford you." And, you know, his response is, what do you want me to do? You know, it's like, what kind of response is he supposed to have to that? I mean, you know, it's like you're paying for a premium service here. You know, it's like, I wouldn't go into a Mercedes-Benz dealership and be like, "Nah, this is how much I want to pay, but I want that EMG right there, you know, AMG model right there."
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? It's like, come on, you really do get what you pay for. While at the same time, you got to do your research. You know, I mean, this is Shelby Starnes talking about. You're talking about, you know, one of the greatest coaches out there right now, you know, is, you know, he's got a huge success rate and
absolutely
that and that's the experience that you are paying for. That is the premium service, you know? So, you know, and if then on the other aspect, on the other end of the chain there, you've got guys who are, you know, just trying to get their foot in the door and may be good coaches. We don't know.
Right.
But you know, they're, you know, $50, you know, $50, I'll get you ready for a show. You don't know what you're getting with that, you know. I mean, you know, I'd hate to say that, you know, that you're getting what you're paid for there, but I mean, it's kind of true. You know, even with the new coaches, they may be brilliant, but I mean, the experience still isn't there.
Yeah, I could see, you know, because I've seen that too, you know, on Instagram. I've seen a guy who actually worked with me and then dropped out of a show. Later, he started advertising his service, and I want to say it was like $20 a month.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, maybe the diet that I gave him will fit some of the people he works with.
Right.
But, you know, if you're a self-reliant person and you don't need a lot of direction, then maybe you could get your money's worth out of $20 a month. You know, for some of these coaches, that may actually fit for you.
Yeah.
But I think what we're looking at here, though, is like you said, you know, you got to have realistic expectations about, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, $400 for a 16-week program, you know, you're probably going to be able to get into great shape. But I wouldn't expect like a spiritual journey on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yep. Right.
You know, and because what can you expect for that? You know, we break it down. It's, you know, that this person is also trying to make a living here too. So if they take 2 hours out of their day every other day, I mean, that comes out to what? Probably like a couple bucks an hour tops that they're making by the end of the diet.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yes, I've had my own share of people that needed to hire a psychologist or a therapist versus a diet coach.
And I will say, on the whole, I would have to be, you know, it's going to sound a little more sexist, but it's true. It's mostly the women versus the guys, you know. I mean, just on the whole, you know, not every woman, not every guy, obviously you're going to have, you know, your mix and match scenario there. But I mean, still, on the whole, I would say, you know, women are typically a little bit more emotional and more emotionally more, demanding too. And
it's just
the way it is.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think, you know, in general, women tend to be more emotional human beings than men are, you know.
But, you know, at the same time, fucking some women can grind harder than any guys can.
Like, oh, no kidding.
Like, they can suffer, man. They can suffer, you know.
And unfortunately for women, a lot of times to get into awesome shape, they really have to. Yeah.
They got to. Yeah. I mean, that's just evolution. You know what I mean? It's like, number one, they're built for pain. It's true. And number two, they're built for survival, which means more body fat.
Sure.
You know, they're built to survive those long extended, you know, months without food, you know, foraging or whatever else, you know, hunting and gathering. But I mean, those elements still last today. That's why, you know, a lot of women still carry, you know, estrogenic type body fat, you know, in their lower bodies. And man, you can diet them and work their ass off and spend, you know, chain them to the Stairmaster. And still it's hard to get some of those glutes hard and hamstrings hard. It's just the way it is, you know, and it's tough because, you know, like I said, with the psychological aspect of things, you know, these women are just grinding it out and they're killing themselves literally and starving themselves.
Yeah.
It's like they're not showing the fruits of their labor. You know, if all things were equivalent and the harder you worked, the better you looked, I mean, it would be perfect. It's a great scenario. They would be shredded, peeled inside out, you know, but I mean, that's just not the case. So I can see why they would be upset, you know, why they're getting, you know, a little more emotional, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think too, you know, this comes back to picking your coach. I mean, I've seen some coaches that work wonders with females. They just have that touch, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that they just know what it takes, and they can consistently knock out women that look, you know, just awesome time and again. So, you know, I mean, I think that that's definitely something to consider. You know, just because your boyfriend happens to have a coach that helps all the men's physique competitors at the gym doesn't mean that that guy is going to have the same knowledge to help you.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, I kind of cut my teeth on all the big guys, you know, and on like the bigger natural bodybuilders and even some of the smaller natural bodybuilders. And it was, everything was bodybuilding, but that I come from a different era too, when there was no bikini or figure or, you know, any of that. It was just bodybuilding. That's all it was. And then as the years progressed, it's been like more figure and bikini. And like, I almost forget what it's like to diet down on a bodybuilder now.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, few and far between now. It's mostly men's physique guys, you know, or bikini or figure. That's just how it is. It's just the evolution of things for me. It's like, so those are the things, you know, that I've become good at, not by choice, just by chance, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah. And then too, I think that once you get one girl that looks good, then, you know, other people want to work with you that are in a similar position.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just the, you know, the whole referral thing. That's how it works.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, okay, Vij, we are running short on time for the segment, so let's just kind of wrap this up in a neat little package. You know, you got a lot of people out there that are looking to get in awesome shape, and, you know, with the coaching industry being so popular, they have a lot of choices.
No, they only have two choices. They can either contact you, or they can contact me.
Those are the only two options.
The end.
We're the only ones that are good.
Everyone else is stupid. Everyone's learned everything from me anyways.
Yeah. You know, when you're looking for a good coach, you know, once again, you know, take a little time, you know, do your research first. Yeah. I think that the analogy you had of buying a car was a great one. You know, you don't just walk in and just buy a car. You take a little time, you think about it, you look around, you see how this person has interacted with other people. You know, if you want to, you could always talk to some of their clients and see what kind of experiences they have had. You know, there's going to be good experiences and bad experiences with every coach. Not every coach can nail it, you know.
No.
I mean, not every time. It's just that everything is, you know, we're human beings, and sometimes we'll get that 100%. Sometimes we hit 99%. Sometimes you just don't hit it, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of blame is put too much on the coaches there too. I mean, you know, clients account for a good 90% of that. You know what I mean? So it's like, coaches, you know, they're going to do everything they can, while at the same time you're battling a client's genetics and their, you know, their habits, their diet, what they're telling you, what they're not telling you. You know, it's like you can only do so much.
But, oh, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I totally get it. You know, it's like really you just like you got to know your own personality, and you got to know who you're going to work with best. What kind of personality you think you're going to work with best? You know, you need a tyrant in your life, you know, or do you need, you know, that emotional support guy in your life? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, pick the right relationship for you is the best thing I could tell. You know, your listeners.
I think that that's definitely a great way to wrap it up. You know, and don't forget too that you can do a lot of stuff on your own. You know, a lot of people, especially before the coaching got so popular, a lot of people would do their own research and learn their own body. And yeah, you know, granted, it's going to take a lot longer, but don't underestimate the power of learning, you know?
No, actually. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, that's how I learned. That's how you learned.
Right.
That's how countless people from my era have learned. I mean, you know, we didn't even have the internet, you know, around at the time. It was just in its infancy, you know? So, I mean, getting that information was super hard to do, and you had to do it yourself. You had to figure out what foods worked, you know, what training system worked, you know, it took years and years and years to figure that out, which is kind of like an ode, actually, because, you know, that's something that a client can look for too. It'd be like, hey, were you around before the internet? Were you doing this before the internet? Okay, you're my guy. You're hired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because information is just at your fingertips now. You know, you can figure it out real easy. You're going to get a lot of bad advice on the internet too. But I mean, self-learning is probably one of the best things that you can do, you know, as you're trying to go about your whole journey. And this is a lifelong journey. This is not, you know, I'm going to compete 1 year and then I'm going to go be in woodworking for the rest of my life kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
let's wrap this up and get to some listener questions.
All right, let's do it.
Well, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we'll fire up the questions. Scott, and I'm with VJ today. We just had a great discussion about contest prep coaching and diet coaching. We're going to move on to some listener questions. So I've got a lot of people that are starting to message us here over at the Facebook page. You can search for Advices Radio on Facebook and just drop me a private message there, or you can post a comment if you like. That's probably for now the best option if you'd like to submit questions. I'm leaving everybody anonymous. I just figure that's probably just for your own personal what's the word I'm looking for here?
Protection.
Yeah, well, privacy, that's the word.
Yeah,
there we go. Just for your own privacy, I'm just going to leave all the questions anonymous, so no need to worry about that. I know that you know, like Jim Anderson from Tennessee doesn't want the world knowing that he's asking about how to run test sip, so so all right, I'm going to start out here. This is let's see, what do we got? Says, first of all, you'd like to thank us for the show. It goes on with that for a second. And then he says, what I wanted to ask was in regards to diet. Okay, this is a big question too, so this one could take us a while. I've been competing now for a year and made some unbelievable transformations during that time. I've always had a diet coach. But I want to do my own off-season diet this time.
All right. It's
kind of what we're just talking about.
Right.
Now what I mean is that I want to play around with my diet and pinpoint what makes good changes and what doesn't. I want to ask you, what does protein, carbs, and fats do, and how should I adjust them? Does it matter if I eat more carbs or less fats or more fats? Should I do the majority of carbs in my first three meals or divide it up evenly? This is a big one. We're probably not going to be able to cover it all here tonight because we're basically trying to break down an entire blueprint of how your body works.
Right. Yep.
But we can try to give you some suggestions in a very general way that you can then take and begin applying and watch your body's response.
Yeah, this is going to be more of a guidelines type thing than an actual full-on answer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's the key is that, you know, when you have a coach, part of what you get is you have somebody who's experienced. They know what they're looking for in your body. You might not even see the changes if your eye isn't used to looking for them. But, you know, a coach will ideally be able to fast track you to be able to get where you want to be quicker than you would have been able to on your own. So this is part of this is going to take time. My first suggestion is that through this process, you take a lot of pictures. You want to be able to catalog exactly what you're doing. And that's what I have my clients do. You know, the one picture is just a snap of time, you know, one little window of time. But when you start putting all those pictures together, they begin to tell a story. And when you couple that with the diet, then you can begin to put the pieces together of what the puzzle is. So let's tackle protein first, because that's our foundation. When you're building a diet, VJ, how many grams of protein do you generally try to prescribe?
Well, I mean, typically I'm going to use about, I don't know, 1.2 to 1.5 grams per pound of lean body mass. So, I mean, you know, understand that I saying lean, I'm not talking, you know, your average, you know, gym bro who weighs, you know, 205, you know, that doesn't equate to 350 grams of protein.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about lean body mass. So understand where your body fat's at this point. You know, that's the number one gauge when you're trying to set up a diet. How fat are you?
Yes.
To put it bluntly, how much lean body mass do you have? And what are the goals from there? Are you trying to lose body fat? Are you trying to gain muscle? What are you doing? Regardless, that protein number really doesn't shift a whole lot. I mean,
right.
I can't make a generalized statement like that, but for the most part, you have other macronutrients like carbs and fats that you can play around with first before you start manipulating protein. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So protein is just, you know, a building block for you. It's a you know, increased nitrogen retention in the body, which, you know, shifts your entire metabolism into an anabolic type process or an anti-catabolic type environment. So, fats aren't going to do that. Carbs aren't going to do that. Unfortunately, the only thing that can do that are nitrogen rich, food components, which are protein. That's it. That's all. It's the only food that can do it.
Sure. And now other foods like carbs can work together with your protein, you know, to help you. And that's the next step I would go into is for carbohydrates. You know, it's tough to pinpoint exactly how much somebody's going to need right out the gate. The first thing, and I would never, if somebody just messaged me and they, you know, I didn't know anything that they looked like, I would never really want to tell them, oh, well, eat 200 grams of carbs.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can tell too, and I'm sure you've seen it, Vij, that you look at somebody's body, you get a feel for whether they're carb sensitive or not by the way they're holding fat.
Sure. Yeah. And a little brief history will nail it for you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I mean, when you're talking about carbs or fats, you know, you're talking about macronutrients that are protein sparing.
Yes.
So, you know, these are immediate energy supply type foods. Whereas, you know, if you eat, let's say, you know, 4 ounces of potato, you immediately have an energy source that is readily available, you know, for, I don't know, fucking 100-yard dash or something, whatever it is, you know, it's there, it's ready for you. And if it's not used, it goes into storage as body fat, unfortunately, you know. Whereas if you have, you know, 4 ounces of chicken, that's not an immediate, you know, energy source type food. That is a food that is actually needs to be going into storage and broken down over time, over the course of the day. You're talking about a macronutrient argument that, you know, if it was to be, that's not to say that it can't be an energy source. It can. It's just very chemically expensive for that process to take place. Yeah. And it's not an ideal energy exchange for that individual to be using protein as fuel. Not when there's carbohydrates and fats that are available for fuel. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I really like the way you articulated that. That was great.
Well, I try. I am a doctor, you know.
Yes. So, you know, he asks where he would put carbs in his diet. And so that's where I'm going to start out is, you know, where we would want to stack carbs. And I know that you and I are both on the same page that you just said that these are immediate energy sources.
Yeah.
So the first place I'd want to put a carbohydrate is when you're going to be expending the most amount of energy. And that would be during your training.
Yeah. So peri training, you know, around your workouts.
Yes. So yeah, before your workout is the number one meal that I'd want to have carbohydrates. The second time would be right after training.
Yeah. And this is an ideal situation. You know, if you have an individual who just simply does not respond to carbohydrates, you've got one other choice left, and that's fats, you know?
There you go.
So you keep the majority of your fats, or at least a heavy brunt of your fats, around your training. I mean, it's really that simple. I know, I think it's Scott Abel. Scott Abel is the name that's coming to my mind. He was a big proponent of you know, micronutrients or macronutrients being equal throughout the meals, throughout the day, regardless
of
energy expenditure. And that I like that idea a lot. I you know, that was one of the first methods that I ever kind of learned of, and it works. It really does work. You know, and when you're playing with macronutrients like carb timing or fat timing, you know, you're trying to, you're really guessing kind of if this is the best place for you to be using your carbohydrates. I mean, logic says, I need carbohydrates because I'm going to go train. I lift a lot of weights. I do cardio. I need the energy, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, at the same time, you know, a sustained energy throughout the day is something else to kind of counterbalance. You know, it's like try both. It's just food for thought, you know.
Yeah, I think that's great. Absolutely. Yeah, I was just looking at his Facebook pictures. He's definitely got some muscle on him. Not a huge guy. I mean, and just looking at him, I feel like that he would be fine to really try to ramp the carbs up a little bit. I mean, that'd be my number one suggestion would be to start there. You know, if you've got to figure your body out, you know, I would definitely start with using carbs, you know, as my primary tool to try to gain muscle and during your off season. And if you start having a poor response to it, then you'll see in the pictures. And you know, you get 3-4 weeks down the road and you realize, geez, I'm just getting fat, then you'll know that you've maxed it out.
It's too much, right? Time to dial it back down. Yep.
Yeah. So that would be the first thing I would do is go with really trying to manipulate the carbohydrates to get your muscle gains. You know, I think we could keep going into this, but I'm going to move on here.
Yeah, that's fine. As you're talking, there's so many points.
I know.
Up. Should we talk about this or talk about insulin sensitivity, that sort of thing? I'm like, no, we got to stick to the plan here.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, that could be a show in itself.
Right, absolutely.
But it's just part of that, too, is because there's just so many different options, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, though, that you if you just take things one step at a time, you know, like you said, get the protein nailed first. Yeah. And then if you start playing with the carbohydrates, and usually, you know, if you're in a contest situation where he said that he dieted down for a show, he's competed, and now he's going into an off season, it's a great opportunity for you to reverse off that diet, and you can see exactly how your body is responding as you go. And, you know, ideally, you can keep yourself pretty lean through this experience. So,
yeah, you know, I can actually make his answer real quick and simple for him just at this stage, as far as, you know, reverse dieting and coming into an off season for him.
Okay.
Whatever you were doing 8 weeks ago, do that right now.
That's good. That's
just keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about, you know, maximizing carbohydrates this now. It's just keep it simple. Do what you were doing 8 weeks ago and just go from there.
I like that.
Yeah. You can add calories from there. You can back them down. But what we do know is that, you know, it's not going to get you too much fatter. And at that stage, you know, post contest, you know, people can have a tendency to actually put on more body fat, you know, than ever before. So
you could quickly. Sure.
Yeah. So it's something to think about.
All right. Next question. And this is going to be kind of a shorter one. He says, any advice on how to build bigger, more defined calves? Said, I've seen some progress, but how many days a week should I train calves? Yeah. I'm just going to turn this one over to you, Veach, because I can tell you what I've seen work for other people. I have not had any personal experience. I don't train calves.
The answer is get better parents.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Get parents with huge calves and the genetics for great calves like Scott over here.
Yes.
Who's trained his calves about 5 minutes his entire life.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is, you know, you want to learn how to grow big arms. The guy in the gym you probably don't want to ask
is the guy with the big arms.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really, that's a tough one because you're at a genetic disadvantage. If you've got small calves going in, man, you can train hard and spend a couple of years doing that and getting your nutrition right. And if you see good growth, that's great. But at the same time, you could not see anything at all, unfortunately.
And that's just specific to calves.
To calves. It just seems like the fiber types are just a little bit different than in some of your major prime movers. You know, it's just being on your feet all the time. That is the prime mover of the ankle joint. And all you're doing is flexing all day because, you know, you're walking. Most people are walking. Most people are bipedal, you know. So they're... The fiber types are a little bit different in there, and they're evolved more towards endurance.
Yes.
Now when you think about endurance, you can actually think about, you know, the best ways to train them. You know, the same thing, like, you know, doing heavy presses for chest is going to get you, you know, it's going to put on some muscle for you for sure, you know?
Sure.
But while at the same time, you can't expect the same effect from training calves that way. But what you can do is understand that they're made for endurance. So what can you do? You can train them to exhaustion with high reps, high volume, and multiple frequency. You know, sometimes just, you know, once a week or twice a week. I think three times a week is too much. But, you know, depending on how hard they train and if they're getting enough time for recuperation. Because at the same time, you're still walking around. You're still using those muscles, you know. It's like we can train chest. And it's fine. We can train chest once a week. It's no problem. We're going to heal because we're not walking around on our hands all day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's getting plenty of rest, whereas the calves, they just don't get that much rest. So that's something you got to play around with is volume and frequency with training calves. While at the same time, you have to train heavy with high repetition.
I think that heavy is definitely key with calves because, like you said, we're walking around all the time, and
it's because of that,
we're used to that. So if you want to grow, if you want to change, you're going to need to give your body a reason to adapt. Then you're going to have to do something different, not more of the same.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here.
Yeah, sure.
All right, this is kind of a really cool question. I thought this was interesting, and I think we're both going to have a real quick light bulb moment when we get to the end. He says, let's see. My training has been effective in my strength gains, but I've noticed that no matter how gassed I am, after I leave the gym, I am no longer sore the day after. In the past, I suffered debilitating DOMS, that's delayed onset muscle soreness, that occasionally led to me calling in sick to work. Like, bro, I can't come in. My chest is sore. Am I not lifting hard enough anymore? I haven't gained any muscle mass like I have in the past, but I definitely am getting stronger. I'm unsure what is happening to my body now. Okay, and here's the light bulb moment. A side note, I am using test 200 milligrams 2 times a week. Could that be aiding in my recovery? Answer one word, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, that's what's going on. You know, anabolic steroids are definitely going to increase your speed of recovery. You can train your body ridiculously ridiculously harder. You know, and I was just thinking about this. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that a few of my local guys and I will get together to train legs together on Saturdays. I have one guy that's 100% totally natural. I walked away from this leg workout thinking to myself, oh my God, like, what did I just fucking do to myself? Like, we did these heavy banded leg presses midway through the workout, and VJ, they were so brutal. Like, it was a heavy band, and it was like so damn brutal. And we just continuously like worked up in weight. Like, I felt like my central nervous system was just destroyed. Like, I was walking out of the gym almost shaking like an hour later after the workout was finished.
And those are brutal workouts.
It was like, it didn't feel right. My life felt like I was living in a nightmare. It was like, it was bad, man, like really bad. And then I turned to my poor friend that I'm training with, who actually was Vache from episode one. He's 100% natural, and he's 4 weeks out from a show. His calories are super low, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what?
Yeah, that may have been a mistake, huh?
Yeah. Now he did go a little bit later. He was using a different set of bands, so I don't think he experienced quite that much. But that's kind of what comes to mind is, you know, being enhanced, you can handle a hell of a lot more. And I want you to know too that the feeling DOMS is not a direct connection to how hard you work the muscle.
No, it really isn't. No, I mean, there's plenty of literature out there that can kind of back you up on that for sure now. So,
but you know, I mean, it is a good sign. I do like to know, like, the next day after I trained back that, you know, my lats are sore.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty common. You know, I mean, most people who train hard, they're like, fuck, I'm not sore. I must have not worked, you know. Not necessarily all, you know, the people that know, are in the know, understand that that's not necessarily true. But it is a good indicator for the most part. And psychologically, you feel like you've done something, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, but there is something that sticks out, stands out to me here. And, you know, he says that he's getting stronger, but he's not seeing any progress. So something is off here regardless. And
yeah,
maybe it's in his training or maybe it's in his diet. Maybe he does need to train differently. Yeah. I bet you that if he's doing it, and what does different mean? How can we define, you know, what's different? Do something you're not doing now.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
So
exactly.
If you're working like all in like the, say, you know, high rep, you know, 12, 15 rep range, why don't you try doing something less? Go down to the 6 to 8 rep range. See how that feels.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Different stimulus, that's all.
Yeah, if you're doing all real heavy work, then maybe work in some higher rep sets, see how that feels. You know, change the type of intensity that you're using. Maybe, you know, if you're using a lot of machines, go to free weights, you know, or maybe try bands.
Yeah, I really think the training is definitely, it's got to be lacking. I mean, I don't know what his diet's like. He didn't really say what his diet's like, but I can't imagine that his diet is so amazingly awesome that it's healing him from his workouts instantaneously, like, you know, Wolverine from X-Men. you know, I would definitely, without knowing what his diet's like and only having a limited amount of information from him at this point,
yeah,
I would have to completely agree with you. It has to be the training, either the volume or the intensity or something. He's not training hard enough. Like, that's just that's where it is.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I have to think you're right, because I mean, regardless of, you know, whatever I'm taking, I still get sore.
Yeah, right. See? So I mean, that's the comparison there.
So I would definitely look into that. But then I would also check your diet out, because it sounds like you probably need more food. A lot of times, you know, in the previous episode, like Dave Crossland was saying, that you got to eat more. People don't realize that, okay, now I'm bigger. You were 175 pounds. Now you're 185 pounds. You got to eat like a 185 pound guy to maintain that. But then guess what? If you want to be 195 pounds, you got to eat even more than you are now. So yeah, it's constantly, your nutrition is constantly changing. And as you get bigger, your need for food increases too, if you want to continue growing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I would definitely have to agree. You got those freaks out there that eat like birds, you know, and they're still, you know, they still respond like, you know, Rami doesn't actually eat that much food. You
right.
know, Paul Dillette did not eat hardly anything at all. And these are two of the biggest guys in the fucking history of bodybuilding, you know? So, I mean, but they're the anomalies there, you know, for the most part, like you said, in order to maintain an anabolic environment, you've got to meet the needs of creating that environment. And, you know, the only way to do that is, you know, through food, obviously hormones too, but you can take all the hormones in the world. And if you don't have that food stimulus, forget about it. You're not going anywhere.
Absolutely. So yeah, those are definitely some things that I, you know, I would consider. Let's see. I've got one more question here, and there's a bunch going on here. Let me just get down to the questions. He asks, how many times a week should I work out, and how many body parts should I hit a day?
Oh shit! You got an eager beaver here. Sounds like,
yes,
yeah.
And let's see. Yeah, we'll just stop there. There's a couple more, you know, side questions to that, but I think that's enough for us to tackle this and then wrap the show up.
Sure.
Okay, so how many? I mean, I think that on average, you know, it all depends. You know, once again, and I think that's kind of the take-home message here with a lot of this show. You know, it all depends on your body. I know, you know, some guys that need to train every other day because they can't handle any more volume, and maybe they train four times a week, three times a week even. Then there's the other people that respond very well to more volume. Also depends on how hard you're fatiguing the muscle every time you train. I think that I've come across a lot of newer guys that train 6 or 7 days a week, but the reason, and they're making some progress, and part of that is because they don't have a lot of gains yet, and they aren't real big yet, so they can continue to do this and continue to make progress. But the reason they're able to continue training every day is because they don't hit the muscle hard enough one time.
Right.
You know, yep. I think that Dave Crossland made, back to him again, made a super valid point on the previous episode. You know, I had asked him what was a great way to increase your intensity at the gym, and he said, limit the number of sets you do. You know, once you put that number on there, you know you have to get it all out within that number of sets.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, Dorian's training system was the same way.
Yeah.
And he liked to use the analogy of, you know, are you going to tap a stick of dynamite with a pencil repetitively, or are you gonna light that fucker on fire? You know what I mean? It's like it's all about intensity and volume.
Yeah.
Mostly intensity.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that if you work hard enough, you can hit every body part one time a week, and that's where I would start. See how you respond. It's going to take time. You know, once again, this is something where I keep mentioning pictures, take progress pictures, watch how you're doing. You know, if you really want to get down to it, take some measurements too, and just, you know, evaluate what's happening. And how long do you need to evaluate? I would say give yourself 12 weeks. You know, you're not going to find out if a training system is working for you, you know, in 3 weeks. It's just, you know, yeah. I mean, well, sure. If you're doing something that's just screwing up your joints, then
oh, yeah.
maybe that's an indication it's not working for you. But as far as actually making progress goes, you know, give yourself more time. You know, you're going to need at least a couple, 2-3 months to be able to tell, you know, whether it's working or not.
Absolutely. You got to think of it this way. You know, if you're going to work one body part per week, you know, chest on Mondays, you know, over the course of 12 weeks, that's only 12 chest workouts.
Right. Perfect.
You know? So, I mean, you got to think of it as far as how many workouts you're getting, you know, and go from there. But it is a long-term investment you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. So I think this is a great batch of questions, and I really thank you all, everybody, for reaching out. We have a few more questions that I won't be able to get to this week, but I'm planning on getting back to them in a future episode. So once again, for anybody who's interested in having their questions asked on the air, I'm going to keep everybody's identity private, so you'll know that you wrote in. And you can just drop me a private message over at the Advices Radio Facebook page and head on over to advicesradio.com. And that should do it for now. Also, we're on YouTube, and I believe we have a Twitter account set up.
No shit.
I believe so. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff going on out there. So let me know what you think, guys. And if you have any topic suggestions for future shows, I would love to hear that stuff, too. VJ, thanks for being with me. This was a lot of fun. It feels very, I'm having a deja vu experience here. I feel like we've done this before.
No, we've never even met. I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. And, you know, the more I can talk about all this, this bodybuilding stuff, you know, the better it is for me, because I'm not really good at anything else. So
stick with what you're good at.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, VJ, well, thanks for coming on. And to the Advices Radio audience, keep grinding.